Okay, now we can start.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Jordan Malley. Jordan, great to see you. Through our 670 scores scope. Yep.
Where is he?
And it's right over there, Bill.
Did Matt Peck get a signed copy of that book?
No, Matt Peck, he didn't know.
No.
I'll talk to D. Rose.
Yeah, got
you. Matt, well, you will be getting your book soon.
Left side three. Remy.
Got it!
Levine, turnaround jumper up.
Get it!
Onions! Baby onions! Kobe White, put him in the Hall of Fame.
Locked On Bulls starts now.
You can just see the vibe.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Jordan Malley, along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop your text, your voicemails, anything you got for us, 331-979-1369. Back for episode number 2 today, Matt. Very excited to get into some of our mailbag questions, comments, voicemails, angry texts, whatever you have for us. We're here to take it from you. But got some interesting audio from the national media to play for Bulls fans, giving a little context into some of these trade machine ideas we have. But before I do that, Matt, how are you doing, man?
What's up, Jordan? What's up, Bulls Nation? Doing well, all things considered, as we creep ever closer to November 3rd. Wow. Just a few more days until we hopefully have some semblance of a path forward for our country. I don't know, man. It's going to be a stressful few days ahead. My plan is to just drink heavily on Tuesday night. What about you?
Man, 2020 has been the equivalent to like Gar Forman giving Cristiano Felicio $32 million. It's just like, it's awful. Awful in every single way you could possibly think about it.
I wonder if Paul Zipser is having an okay 2020.
Paul Zipser, you know, man, Paul Zipser, I feel bad for that guy. I really, really do. He got cast a spell.
Paul Zipser, who were high on.
Yes, thank you, Gar. Thank you, Gar. He got the short end of the stick. Talk about injury riddled and used for nothing. He had potential, man. He had potential, but he's probably playing somewhere else, making a lot more money than he is and having to deal with a hell of a lot less stress than dealing with this Bulls team.
Yeah, it's, man, what a time. What a time we are living through right now. I don't even know what to say most days.
We studied the options. Paul Zipser, who were high on.
Before we get to our voicemails and text messages, again, 331-979-1369, the place to drop that. Matt, between all the interviews we did last week, all the Bulls content, NBA content coming out, this kind of fell under the radar, but I was listening to Zach Lowe's Low Post podcast over the weekend, just kind of catching up, and he had Bill Simmons on. Whatever you think about Bill Simmons, I get it. Keep your opinions to yourself. I don't really care. Any Bulls fan listening out there right now, some people might love him. Some people might hate him. Don't care. I think he's one of several NBA reporters, insiders, people who are connected around the league. Same thing with Zach Lowe. Like anything Zach Lowe says, writes, I will take and pretty much take that as gospel. So let's take a listen to them chop it up a little bit for a couple of minutes about a possible trade scenario or multiple trade scenarios involving the Bulls.
I need to get somebody, if I'm trading this pick, if I'm Golden State, I need to get somebody who's playing crunch time for me in a game 7 against the Lakers.
Okay, number 2.
If I can't get that, I'm not doing it.
Number 2 to Chicago for number 4 and pick them between Lauri Markkanen and Wendell Carter Jr.
So I looked at, well, I think that's too much for Chicago.
I don't think the Bulls are paying that. When I stumbled upon that and started surveying people around the league, My talking it through with them was that's a lot to pay to move up 2 spots unless you just love somebody, in which case, but I don't think Chicago loves somebody. I think actually I've had a lot of teams tell me I'd love to be in Chicago's spot because I get my pick of whoever I want below those top 3. And if someone falls to me because someone does something crazy, then great.
Russell and I were texting last week. I was like, I like the idea of Markkanen for the 2. And we kind of got excited about that because I'm all in on, I want to see Markkanen on a different team. The problem is you've already gone through a couple years of his rookie deal and you're going to have to pay him sooner Carter's, if they could get Carter for the two, I don't know why Chicago would do that, because I like Carter more than anybody in that top three.
I don't think they would.
But if the Warriors could get that, and they gave, maybe you offer Jerry Reinsdorf some money. We know he loves saving money every year. Maybe they offer him number two and $3 million and some stock and some Joe Lacob company that he invested in or something. I like the idea of Carter, though. I think he's really good. And the Bulls, to me, are a team that I just don't know what to make of their talent, because they were all in the worst possible situation. The Jim Boylan thing was a catastrophe. You build a team around Zach LaVine, who's the biggest good stats, bad record guy in the league. And I don't know, if you're Wendell Carter, would you be like, man, that was a really cool 2 years. I learned a lot. You're in the same spot you're in 2 years ago.
Well, I think you just outlined why the Bulls would be hesitant to make that kind of trade, is that I think they believe, I want to see what these guys can do under Billy Donovan, because what we saw last year from Wendell Carter Jr., when like he just wouldn't even look at the rim, he was so discouraged from shooting and playing offense, was like a shade of himself. And I think they have faith that, okay, let's get a fresh coach in here, let's do something different, and this guy's going to look way better than he did last year.
Can I give you a trade I don't think either team would make?
That's a victory play that we run at the end of games.
Lot to digest there, Matt, in 3 minutes. Overall takes when you're listening to them talk about Carter, Markkanen trading up, the spot that they're in at number four right now, what Zach Lowe specifically is hearing about the league. What did you take away from hearing that?
Well, what I took away is that I agree with, I think, both of them when this proposal of dishing number four and one of Lowry or Wendell to move up two spots to number two is just not worth it for the Bulls. It's why you and I have talked about trading down a lot instead of trading up. And I certainly don't think trading up is worth it if it means sacrificing one of those guys who, something else I agree with them on, that Lowe pointed out towards the end there, is you're selling so low on both of these guys if you trade either of them. And Wendell, especially, a kid who looked to have all kinds of great offensive potential at Duke and showed flashes of that his rookie year. And then just even more aggressively than Lowry, just ghosted this season. Did not look at the basket or look to score at all, ever. Just looked totally lost, or like a player who was trying to follow orders, and the orders were, don't you dare take that basketball and look towards the basket. So does AK and Eversley and Donovan want to see what they have in this kid before they give up on him? Especially to only trade up two spots in a weak draft? Yeah, that's my line of thought for sure.
You have 2 years of control of Markkanen, well, technically 1 year of control of Markkanen, and then a qualifying offer after this next season for $9 million. That's an intriguing qualifying offer, depending on a Markkanen season in this year. Maybe he picks that up for 1 year and says, I'm going to just hit the open market after that and see if I can play my way into a better contract. Because right now, man, like contract negotiations with Markkanen are going to be super low in value for him, considering what he's shown us over the first 3 years of his career. The one question I keep coming back to in terms of overall next 3-4 years of what this Bulls team is going to look like is, are you going to extend Zach LaVine or not? It comes back to that question. Because if you are, if you're going to spend the money and re-sign Zach LaVine long term, you're not signing extensions for Carter, White, and Markkanen. All three of those guys are not coming back. They're all going to be way too expensive. The Bulls will, it just doesn't make any sense to bring all three of those guys back unless all three of them turn into all-stars. That would be the only scenario. So I think you need to pick out the contract that doesn't make a whole lot of sense and you don't have a lot of control of. And unfortunately for Lowry, that's him. He's got 1 year left on his deal. And then you really, like, even this offseason, I think the Bulls will start to have preliminary contract extension talks with Markkanen and see where he's at. But I mean, you don't need to have those conversations with Coby White for 3 years, and you don't need to have those conversations with Carter for another 2 seasons. So if there's one guy on this roster that you're looking at, considering the fact that you're going to sign LaVine long term, hypothetically, Markkanen's the guy. Markkanen's the guy that you trade away, and I get you'd be selling super low on him, but I think that's fair value if the Bulls truly do love somebody at number two and be like Charlotte or Golden State are going to steal them, or maybe even a team that's not in the top four or top five jumps up ahead of the Bulls and snags the guy that they are looking for. If you absolutely love somebody and cannot miss on them, then maybe you take your chances and you just say, all right, we're going to give you Markkanen and give us the number two. We're ready to go. Like, then you have the number two and you have the number four pick. What do you think about that? In the cost is Lauri Markkanen.
So you're not talking about a swap. You're just talking about trading Lauri for the two and keeping the four?
Correct. That's what they were talking about, too. They said it's way too much to give up for the number four and Lauri to move up two spots. And I totally agree with them.
Yeah, but I don't think you need the number two pick and the number four pick. If you want to get yourself a playmaker, okay. Take, you know, if LaMelo's there, great, take LaMelo. If he's not, take Killian Hayes. Maybe you want to trade down and see if you can still get a player like Tyrese Haliburton. I'm fine with any of those plans, but I don't think any of those plans necessitate having two picks in the top five. That just seems pointless to me. Jordan, we've got some mailbag content to get to, but before we do that, I wanted to tell our listeners about our great sponsors in rockauto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's almost impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless and seemingly intimidating questioning, like is your Odyssey an LX or an EX, and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand that their warehouse happens to carry? You've got a computer with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Rockauto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They've got everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpeting. Whether it's for your classic car or your daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals as do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much money for the exact same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com.
Before we get to all of the trade hypotheticals you guys have, potential off-season signings, and all the text, tweets, messages you guys have sent us over the last week, let's get to our one and only voicemail that's new, Matt. And it kind of wanes away from this off-season talk and more circles back to a conversation we've had multiple times over the past 2 years. Let's take a listen.
Hey, Jordan. Hey, Matt. How you guys doing? This is Zach from Pennsylvania. Just letting you guys know that I love your guys' show, and obviously I love the Chicago Bulls. I'm also a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, but I became a Bulls fan because of Derrick Rose. But anyways, I'm not here to talk about the Steelers. I'm here to talk about the Bulls. So the question I have for is, what are the chances you guys think that we can somehow possibly get the last seed in the East? Do you think there's any chance of that, or do you think that's still out of the equation? All right, thank you, guys.
Awesome. Awesome to hear from you. Thanks for calling in from Pennsylvania. Yeah, I think a lot of Bulls fans outside of Chicago that are sort of, I would imagine he's probably in the same age group that I am, maybe a little younger than I am, maybe a little bit older. But if you weren't a Bulls fan and didn't get a chance to see Jordan, you probably jumped on board when Rose was here, when Noah was here, if you're a Bulls fan still to this day. I'm guessing that. Another thing real quick, just because he brought up the Steelers, man, I melted this morning when I watched Chase Claypool. He's been posting these side-by-sides of these TikToks of him doing like really awesome stuff. One was a Steelers fan had dementia. His dad had dementia, turning 75, and said that he was the biggest Steelers fan in the world at a video showing it, and Chase Claypool side by side is sitting there signing a jersey for him and films himself going to FedEx office to ship it out to the guys. So little things like that, Matt, I love about social media. So shout out to Chase Claypool. He's awesome. But what do you think about the Bulls making the playoffs?
I did see that, and kudos to our caller for the Steelers being undefeated in that crazy game that they pulled out against Tennessee over the weekend. But as far as the Bulls making the playoffs this upcoming season, it's kind of the same way that I felt a year ago. Obviously, I'm more optimistic with some of the organizational changes that we've seen over the past year. But as far as making the playoffs, I'm still where I was last year, which is we need to see a lot of internal improvement from the pieces on this roster. And then maybe if something wild happens and the Bulls make a big trade on draft night or make a big trade after that, and the roster changes in some astronomical way, then we can talk about change in expectation. But right now, do I see the Bulls as a team that can make the playoffs in the East? No. I'm sorry. I need to see it before believing it. And I don't think that's pessimism or skepticism. I think that's just like what have we seen that would lead us to believe that this team is capable of making the playoffs? And look at what the rest of the East has. Milwaukee, Toronto, Boston, Indiana, Miami, Philly, Brooklyn. Like, I think that's seven locks on playoff-bound teams. Even if, you know, maybe the one exception there would be if Indiana decides, okay, Oladipo's not happy or whatever, so let's move on. And like, the Pacers, like, start over, which I don't even think is necessarily the odds-on likely thing to happen. I think what's likely to happen is they're going to keep Oladipo and keep building there. But that's the only one of those seven teams I just named just now who might look toward a rebuild instead of going back and making another run at the playoffs. And certainly Brooklyn, with a healthy Kyrie and a Kevin Durant, they're going to be in the mix, you know, especially even the fact that like they were a playoff team without them. So the one question is Orlando. What are they going to do? You know, we talked a little bit about their plan for Aaron Gordon on one of our episodes last week. What are they going to do with him? What are they going to do with Vooch? What are they going to do with that roster that's just kind of always in the eighth seed realm of the Eastern Conference? And are they going to make a change or are they going to run it back? Between that, how and why might the Wizards improve? How and why might Charlotte improve? And then what are the Bulls going to do? Because those, I think, are the teams that you're going to be looking at to say, who's getting the eighth seed? And maybe, you know, is Atlanta significantly better this year? Another year with Trae Young running things, maybe a healthier roster. What teams can you confidently say the Bulls are going to be better than next season in the East? New York and Cleveland?
New York, Cleveland, Charlotte for sure. The Wizards for sure. Actually, I wouldn't say for sure on the Wizards. If Bradley Beal's back and John Wall's healthy, then you could be equal with the Wizards, maybe. I think there's surprising optimism in this East, especially like you were saying, like I need to figure out what the Pacers are doing and if they're going to take a step back and deal guys. And I don't know, maybe the Bulls are on this borderline tier with teams like the Magic and the Pacers, because you're going to expect the Nets to jump from seven, probably into the top three, maybe the top four. You're right. It is tough because there's such a staunch difference between the top seven teams in this Eastern Conference and the bottom seven teams in this Eastern Conference. I think the one thing that could help the Bulls if they go to regional bubbles and you're playing the Central Division in the Eastern Conference, the Bulls could beat the shit out of the Detroit Pistons and the Cleveland Cavaliers for, 40 games? And then you have your playoff primer in playing the Bucks and the Pacers, too. So maybe that's something to look optimistically at if they go to regional bubbles. But yeah, I think the Bulls are going to be a fighter, and Orlando's going to be a team that we should continue to monitor closely, because like going into next season, I think you're right. Orlando's going to be the team, if the Bulls want the eighth or the seventh seed, that they're really going to have to go back and forth with, especially towards that end of the season. But I don't even know what the schedule's going to look like at this point.
Yeah. I think you make a good point to say maybe the Bulls can benefit from playing their own division a lot, because maybe it'll certainly involve a bad Cleveland team, and it'll likely involve a bad Detroit team, and who knows with Indy, and obviously Milwaukee is tough. But to me, and look, I'm not trying to sound pessimistic and state conclusively, like it's not like I'm guaranteeing the Bulls are going to miss the playoffs next season. I'm just saying I'm not betting aggressively that they will, when, as I said, you rattle off seven teams that are almost guaranteed to be playoff bound next year, given the rosters that they're going to be running back. And yes, you know, we could see a crazy trade. We could see an injury to a key player. Those things happen. Those things are unpredictable. But as of right now, looking at the landscape in the East, the Bulls will optimistically be one of three or four teams fighting each other out for the eighth seed, because the top seven seem like the top seven.
So what you're telling me is at Media Day to open training camp, you're not going to hear something like this?
Our goals this year are really simple. First and foremost, we want to compete at a high, high level. We think we can compete. And when you compete at a high level, you have the ability to be a playoff caliber team. And we set that as a goal. Jim talks about it. He's not afraid of it. And our guys, through their work, have shown us that they want to make that commitment. So we feel good about that.
And 30 days later, they were already moving the goalposts.
Luck and hope are not a strategy or a plan.
So I think that's where we're at. I think we can check back in once we get like an actual schedule, see what the Bulls are playing, see what they're going to do about travel and all of that. So I think it's very much up in the air. Check back in with that question maybe in a month or so. I think in a month or so, we will have more of a definitive idea of being able to say whether or not preseason we believe the Bulls can be a contender for a playoff. Right now, snapshot, Matt, I think that they can definitely be that, but I think it's good that you're not holding any expectations for this team, and I think that's a good way to approach next season.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping that they do set themselves a goal of, hey, if we can get some improvement from this, you know, this young core of players that we have, and try a different strategy and install a different system under Billy Donovan than the shit that we just had to watch with Jim Boylan for a season and a half, we can see a marked improvement. I absolutely think that a marked improvement from 22 and 43 is very possible. But, you know, and again, so now maybe we're talking about a 72-game season instead of an 82-game season, but you talk about what does it take to make the playoffs in the East? You know, can the Bulls go from 22 wins to 33 wins? Will that be enough to get you there? Will a 10-win improvement be enough to get you there, or at least in that hunt? You know, a playoff-caliber team, as John might say. It's possible, but I'm certainly not guaranteeing it.
Thanks for the voicemail. You can leave those at 331-979-1369. Again, 331-979-1369. Matt, just to follow up on a text in a conversation we had last week, this comes from the 630. It says, hi, Matt and Jordan. Jeremy Grant played for Billy and AK, as well as has his uncle that is a Bulls ambassador. Additionally, if Jeremy Grant thinks he has a better chance at starting here than in Denver, might he and Denver be open to a sign and trade for Thad? Taking Obi Toppin at number four would give the Bulls 3'6'9 front court guys with enormous wingspans. Jeremy Grant 7'3, Wendell Carter Jr. 7'5, Obi Toppin 7'2. And I also believe, if I may be wrong on this, but I think Chandler Hutchison has an over a 7-foot wingspan as well. So that would leave you with four guys. He concludes with, Obi could come off the bench with Lowry starting, but having the 3'6'9 guys on the floor at the same time may be fun to watch. That comes from Bill. What do you think about that?
I do like the sound of all that length on the floor at the same time. I'm kind of like, meh is the best word I can use to describe my feelings on Obi Toppin. I don't love him. I don't hate him. I don't think he really fits with what the Bulls are doing right now. And again, not to say that you don't draft the best player available regardless of fit when you're a team in the Bulls situation. I just don't see him being the guy that AK is looking at. As far as Jeremy Grant, yes. I think the reason that people were so high on him, obviously, is because of the way he performed for Denver in that playoff run. But that's going to mean he will be a very difficult person to get. You obviously have some, you know, connection there, as he mentioned in his text, with AK and, you know, with Uncle Horace being a Bulls legend. That's not necessarily enough to get it done, in my opinion. Fans like to look for those little reasons of, well, like, this player might be interested in the Bulls because fill in the blank. And it's not about that player's desire to go play on a winning team. It's not about that player's desire to make the biggest paycheck they can. And it's not about the things that those players are contemplating most seriously when it comes to their decisions about where do I go play basketball next. So I think those factors don't really mean a whole lot. And that being the case, I think it's, you know, the odds are minimal that the Bulls could swing some kind of maneuver to get him in a Bulls jersey next season.
I'm with you too, and I just, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense for the Bulls to sign and trade for him and then allow him to start over Markkanen when you still have a ton of questions on what you're going to do with him. And I can guarantee you right now, Carter's conversations about moving to the four and Markkanen's upset about his role last year, couple that with, hey, yeah, we're going to sign and trade and bring a guy in to start over both of you who we drafted two out of the last 3 years. Like that, I don't see that conversation going well, and it doesn't make any sense for Grant. For Grant, he's going to want a payday. I understand the trade totally, and the idea of that length is amazing. And by the way, Chandler Hutchison does have a wingspan of 7'1", so that would just be adding another lengthy defender to this Bulls roster. So interesting idea. I know a lot of Bulls fans love Jeremy Grant. Would make sense. I just think he's out of the Bulls' reach this offseason.
I think so too. Here's an interesting hypothetical that I don't think we've talked about yet, Jordan. This one also comes to us from the 630, who said, I saw Zach for Cam Reddish and the number 6 pick. What are your thoughts?
So this is, again, having two picks in the top 10. We just talked about having two picks in the top 5 costing you Markkanen. What do you think about trading away your best asset in Zach for a pick, a number 6 pick and a chance on a guy that the Bulls really liked at 7 last year and decided to pass on?
No. I don't like it.
I don't like it either.
I'm not that high on Cam Reddish. And again, this is saying, all right, you're giving up Zach, your best asset right now, for a project at best in Cam Reddish and a number 6 pick. So you have the number 4 and the number 6. Again, just like I was saying with the Simmons Lowe conversation about Lowry or Wendell, to get the 2 and keep the 4, I don't think you need 2 picks in the top 10 in this draft. I really, really don't.
I don't think so either, but if you're trying to play the game of, hey, where can we get low-cost controlled contracts and set ourselves up to have pieces to move maybe in the future, it kind of makes sense. I would let me rebuttal this trade with one that could make some sense with Cam Reddish in the 6 pick. What about Cam Reddish in the 6 pick for the 4th pick? Who says no to that? Or do both sides say, you know what, maybe we do talk about that?
I mean, if I'm them, I to me, the Bulls still say no there.
Really?
Cam in the 4th for Zach?
No. Cam Reddish and the 6th pick for the 4th overall pick. We keep Zach LaVine.
Oh, that. Maybe. Maybe, especially if AK knows that he's going to get who he's targeting by trading down 2 spots. Cam Reddish has been kind of underwhelming so far, but maybe it's worth taking a flyer on him if you still know that you're going to get your guy, whether that's Killian Hayes or Okoro or Denny or, you know, whoever that may be. Get yourself an asset by trading down. That's what I think you and I keep talking about is the most logical path forward here, right?
Totally. And I've seen some hype from our friends at Locked On Hawks about Tyrese Haliburton. I know Chad Ford had him ranked as his 4th prospect in this draft overall. So maybe Atlanta's like, you know, we got to have him. Haliburton would be perfect with Trae Young. Maybe that's the guy we target. And giving up Cam Reddish, who doesn't really have a role on this team anymore. And I think Atlanta's at the point where they need to start turning the burners on and saying, we're ready to compete. We just need to add a couple other pieces here. Small pieces. Stay healthy, and I think we're ready to compete. Like, the Bulls are in a similar situation as Atlanta, too, and I think both sides could benefit from this. So if Atlanta came to us and said Cam Reddish in the 6th pick for the 4th pick, and maybe you give them one other piece, maybe like Denzel or an ancillary piece on the bench just to match things up, I think I would say yes. I think there's tons of value just moving down 2 pieces and taking a flyer on Reddish, who you'll have control for the next 3 years. I think that would be a great deal for the Bulls. I don't know if Atlanta pulls the trigger on that, though.
Yeah. I'm just like very curious to see what Atlanta's next moves are in general to build around Trae. You know, what are the pieces that they think they need to take that step towards playoff contention with a player in Trey who, yeah, he's not Luka. He's not the prize of that draft class, but he's pretty damn good. You know, a guy as young as he is, averaging 30 and 10, you have a piece there worth building around. So how do you build around him? And, I shrug emoji. I have no idea what Atlanta plans to do, but I wouldn't be surprised to see them try to get active on draft night. All right, Jordan, let's take one more text before we get out of here. This one was a big talking point on NBA Twitter over the weekend. I saw it and just, tweeted, so this is what happened. How do we feel, Bulls fans? And it was the report that the Warriors worked out Denny Abdia, the product from Israel, and were blown away. So 618 asks us, is he a top pick three now? Is he a top three pick now? So I saw that, and the amount of responses and variety of responses I got, Jordan, to the just question of how we feel about this news, Bulls fans, was all over the board. It was really amusing. Some people being like, oh, no, we got to trade up to two now to get him, or good, great, that means we get LaMelo, or good, great, that means we get Killian Hayes, or good, great, that means we get X and X player. What are your thoughts on this? Because mine are generally just like, it's smoke. Like, who knows? Maybe the Warriors liked his workout. We also heard yesterday that they're like enamored with Obi Toppin now. So like, are you putting any stock into this? Because I'm not putting much stock into it.
The only thing that would make me hesitate a little bit was the article that came out over the summer when they were working out Anthony Edwards. I believe it was from NBC Sports in San Francisco, or it was The Athletic. I'll go pull it and put it on our Twitter later today, but it had this idea of what the philosophy was of the Warriors, and it said that over the past several years, they only target a few guys a year that they really, really love. And maybe that is completely different from the position that they're in now at number two compared to where they were the last several seasons in the back end of the 20s. But if this is truthful, then maybe they do, but I'm with you. I think this is complete smoke, trying to get one of several teams to panic and say, hey, we're moving up to number two because we really love Avdija. But like, outside of the Warriors, this Warriors report, have you heard anything that's from scouting experts, analysts that cover the draft inside and out that have been completely blown away by Avdija and any of the tape that he's had? Because I haven't. I haven't seen that type of hype.
No, I mean, I certainly have seen a lot of hype from Bulls fans about Denny.
Now, is that because he's a Bulls fan, or is it because of his actual skill?
I don't think it's about the fact that he's a Bulls fan. Like, that's a cool little anecdote that, you know, we heard in some interview he did. Like, oh yeah, he's a Bulls fan because he grew up, you know, hearing about the legend of Michael Jordan. And so a lot of international players are Bulls fans because that's the team that is global. It is the biggest global brand of basketball still. Not the Warriors, not the Lakers, not the Knicks. It's still the Bulls, and I think it will be. So to me, that's not the, you know, the thing that has Bulls fans enamored with him. I think they're just looking at him as the next, you know, playmaking big, versatile wing, kind of, you know, stretch four forward from, you know, overseas, who's going to come in and light up the league and take the league by storm. He's clearly getting a bump because of what Luke is doing right now. But to me, it's a lazy comparison. It's like there's almost no overlap in their games, like, other than the fact that they're both pretty good in transition. Like, that's it. That is one similarity, and it's still not even an identical element of their game. Luka can shoot. Denny can't shoot. So I think he's just getting the bump because people are starting to say, hey, who's the next great, you know, Euro prize that we can get to build our, you know, build our team around? And I'm not saying Denny's going to be trash. I'm just saying I'm surprised by how much Bulls fans are obsessed with him.
I was quite shocked, too, to hear that report. And, like, I also think about, too, And maybe like maybe this plays more into the fact of the smoke screen by the Warriors is, remember David Locke a couple of years ago when he was on the show and we asked him about Donovan Mitchell, and he told us the story about Mitchell of like the Jazz secretly brought him in for a workout, and the Jazz at that time were at number 22 to draft, and after that workout several executives came up to anybody that was in that closed door workout and said, do not, and I repeat, do not tell anybody we worked him out and how good he looked here. If you do, you're fired. And sure enough, a couple weeks later, the Jazz move up and draft Donovan Mitchell, and he turns out to be the player that he is. So those things, I think, do happen all the time behind closed doors. But like, if that truly did happen with the Warriors, why would they leak this report? Unless they're trying to deal the pick. Like, they wouldn't leak this report unless it's advantageous for them in terms of what the cost for the number two pick is. Like, for the Warriors, the most sense makes for them is to deal for another player that can help them right now, or to deal down. It just, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't get the hype.
Like, and it's not a coincidence to me that we heard the exact same thing about Denny and about Obi Toppin connected to the Warriors within the span of like 48 hours. It was literally like the exact same report, but just switch out the name Denny Avdija for the name Obi Toppin. Again, going back to the initial comment of, yeah, this is smoke, because the Warriors are trying to dupe some team into trading up for their number two pick by saying, oh my God, we love this player. Oh my God, we love this player. Who wants our number two pick? Come and get it. What will you give us for it? I think that's exactly what's going on here.
If the Bulls dealt up to the number two pick and took Denny there, what would your reaction be?
That would be my reaction. It's just an exhausted sigh. I would be very upset if we did that.
My reaction would be, he better be a fucking all-star. That would be my reaction, especially if you have to give up Markkanen or Carter, or if you're swapping picks. Now, I'd be less mad if you're trading up to get that number two pick and you still got the number four in your pocket. Like, I'm less mad at that, but if you're moving up and you're swapping your fourth pick for the two pick and that's who you're taking, like, I will put my faith in it. I will put my faith in this front office. I've already informally apologized to them twice in the span of 6 months, but my trust is in them. But I would say, like, you're taking a fucking huge swing here and you better not miss. Like, this dude better be an all-star or close to it in this draft. Because if you miss on a guy after moving up, like, to start your tenure in Chicago, that would not be good.
But again, I mean, you just said you'd be cool with it if you could also keep that number four pick in your pocket. The only way that's happening is if you are giving up one of these core pieces.
Correct.
You're not moving up from four to two while keeping the number four pick and keeping all of Zach, Kobe, Wendell, and Lowry. You're giving up something there.
I'm curious. All right, let me, I know we're going long here, but let me play this out real fast for you. So if the Bulls get the number two pick, they trade Markkanen to Golden State. They've got 2 and 4. Ball goes number one. Bulls take Avdija at number two. Number three, Charlotte takes Anthony Edwards. And the number four pick comes up and you've got Wiseman. And you take Wiseman. Now you got Avdija and Wiseman. You move Carter to the four. You let Wiseman play the five. You go out and look for a veteran center that maybe you can bridge the gap before allowing Wiseman to be your full-on center. You appease Carter by moving him to the position he wanted to go to. You're getting Avdija, who can play the three and the four. And from what I'm reading is he's going to be more of a longer four than he is going to be able to kind of shoehorn him in at the three long-term. That makes a lot of sense to me. Like, those are the deals lining up. That makes sense to me in why you would deal up to two and deal away Markkanen. That's just me.
I hate all of what you just said. Like, every single element of that, I hate.
As far as logic, though, does that make sense?
No. Not to me. No.
What does it make sense about that? Like, moving up and dealing Markkanen for both of those guys.
Of the top five picks in this trash-ass fucking draft class.
Oh, who's saying it's trash, though?
Me. Everybody. You.
Everybody. I don't know about everybody, man. Like, I'm very skeptical on this draft. I don't know. I don't know what to take of this draft because we haven't seen these guys play in fucking 8 months. You know? So, I don't know. And I would rather trust... If AK's going to make that move, there's a reason for it, right? And I'm going to put my trust and faith in the front office. And while I might groan and be a little hesitant to deal Markkanen if they believe Wiseman and Avija are better than what Markkanen could turn out to be, and the strategy that you can have with this team over the next couple of years, I think logically it makes sense. It might piss off a lot of Bulls fans, though, like you're talking about.
I just, you know, and maybe I'll end up being wrong about this, but I am not ready to give up on Lowry yet. I'm pounding tables, and I'm sure I'm pissing off that one guy who texted us, you know, a couple weeks ago, like, why do you guys defend Lowry all the time? He's trash. And then also, let's trade him. You know, which goes right into our conversation now about what can you get if you trade him. But I would rather see if Billy Donovan, AK, and Eversley can fix Lowry and help him reach his ceiling and help him reach the next level rather than getting two picks in the top five of this draft class. And again, maybe I'm wrong about Lowry and maybe I'm wrong about this being a trash draft class, but I'm just going based off of what I've seen, and nothing screams to me, you need two of the top five picks in this draft class. Not a goddamn thing is telling me that the Bulls need two top five picks in this draft class.
Hey, I completely understand it. I'm throwing out conversations and things that like should be talked about, like strategy wise. And believe me, a lot of them are not going to hit. People are going to be, I guarantee you, people are going to tweet at me and send our text and voicemail line calling me a complete idiot too for even thinking about that. But maybe take Wiseman out of the picture and select whoever else you would want it for, Avija, and whoever else you want it for, and make that your deal. I don't know, but that would be, like, to me, that makes logical sense. But again, it goes back to taking a lot of risk. Like, you're willing to take a lot of risk in your first year as the front office. I don't know if they have the, I'm not even going to say that, because I think AK does. I think he's got the balls on him to make a move like that and a risky move like that, but they better be damn sure if they do. So yeah, it's interesting, and it's going to be a weird offseason. We're still going to get a ton of these trade hypotheticals as we continue on. But yeah, that brought us back. Where were we on that conversation about Golden State? I don't even know what the original question was.
Dude, it's all blended together at this point. I got no idea.
Well, I think we're going to end it there. These hypotheticals, these questions you guys have been asking, comments that you guys are making, overall strategy have been fantastic over the last month. We really appreciate all of them. And it's fueling even more conversation on social media. So continue to hit us up at 331-979-1369. We're on Twitter at LockedOnBulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls_Peck. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful day. Be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
I can ask a question.
Good. Ask. I'm not answering it. Don't come here once every 2 years and ask those questions. I don't want to hear that from you.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com